Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, on this morning, our Father, we come into thy presence with a heart full of thanksgiving and praise toward thee. Father, we thank thee for this opportunity that we have to be assembled together to read from thy word. And our prayer would be, Father, twofold, that the believer would be strengthened in his or her faith, and that the sinner would be called home to be with thee forever through the salvation of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. For this morning's reading, let's turn together to the epistle to the Ephesians, chapter number 2. Ephesians, chapter number 2.
Bratje naše, da se čita iz poslanice apostola Pavla Efescima, druga glava. Efescima, druga glava.
And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, with even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. A beautiful chapter. My hope and my prayer is that we would have the faith that would be required that God would answer our prayers as we have just uttered this prayer together to God, that we would have the faith that God in his infinite power and in infinite wisdom would take that which would be imperfect and make it perfect, would take that which would be lacking or incomplete and make it complete, that we might experience the fullness of the Spirit and the fullness of the power of what God has done for us, and that we might be reminded anew in this day of his love and his of his care and his mercy that he has for all mankind. And so we read here in a chapter this morning a very familiar passage, and we're so thankful for the truths that are written here that we can come to understand the way of salvation and the way that God hath performed this way of salvation, that we would come to know him more and more, and that we as believers would be reminded of just this simple faith that we can have, and because of this simple faith that we would have in the perfect and finished complete work of Jesus Christ, that we have salvation through his name. And then also that those who know not the Lord would come to this knowledge of the way of salvation. It would come to knowledge to know that this is the way that God had intended for mankind to be saved. But as was said recently, knowledge is lacking. Knowledge doesn't bring the fullness. Knowledge, the devils know that there is a God. They have that knowledge, and they fear and tremble. But wisdom brings about an action upon that knowledge. So if we know that God hath provided for us salvation through Jesus Christ, knowledge is knowing that, but wisdom is acting on that, that we would have a heart that would be faithful, that would come to this faith and this understanding of what the Lord has done for us. And so we'll go through this scripture and speak of the salvation that Jesus Christ has brought to us. And it's interesting that this chapter would begin with a conjunction and. Typically, a sentence, let alone a chapter, would not begin with a word and. And so we have to look at what came before this that we would understand what would follow subsequent to this conjunction. And so it's of God saying that God hath made Jesus to be far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. This is what the scripture is teaching, that here in the first chapter, that God has done this thing, that he hath exalted Jesus. He had done this thing where he made Jesus to be far above all principality and power and might and dominion and above every name. That's who Jesus is. So we first have to understand that before we get into the rest of the chapter, into chapter 2. This is who Jesus is. King of kings, Lord of lords, the great Redeemer, our chief shepherd, he who has done all things, he who is the supreme sacrifice of God, once and for all. That's who we are worshiping and exalting as we began this service with that song, exalting Jesus for the salvation that we have. That's Jesus, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name. And then he says, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. The high and lifted up, lofty one made us who were dead in trespasses and in the despicableness of sin. We were dead there. We were filthy. And the high, lifted up, holy one made us to be alive. He hath quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past. He's speaking of the Ephesians, but also of us. We in our prior life, those of us who are redeemed and born again through the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That came naturally, and that's what we did. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And we had all, it says, we all had our conversation or our lifestyle. Conversation here being lifestyle. That in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the lust, the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is who we were. The Apostle Paul here is laying that out very clearly. This is who we were. We were dead in sin. We followed the course of this world according to the prince of the power of the air. This is who we were. And yet, the Apostle Paul is reminding us of who Jesus Christ is. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. The contrast is significant. We have to understand that. We have to understand that. And those of us that are born again and have experienced the salvation of God, we have to remember and be reminded of where we came from. Where we came from. We were the children of wrath, even as others. No different. No different than all others in, that sin in this world. And then there's another conjunction. It says, but God. But God. Again, this is our salvation that we have. Taking these two extremes, Jesus Christ and us who were dead in sin. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. This is what God did. He took us and brought us together. He is rich in mercy, and he has great love, that even when we were in that most horrible state, when we were in the ditches of this world, and in that most despicable state, that's when God showed his love to us. That's when God showed his love to us. Again, let's not think that somehow we can get out of the ditches of life, clean ourselves up a bit, and then say, okay, God, now you can take over from here. No, it is when we were dead in sins. When we were, that's in that state, that's when God showed his rich mercy and his great love that he has for us. And he quickened us together, made us alive together with Christ. God is a God who delights in mercy. We see that throughout his scripture. If we go back to the book of Micah, the Bible says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. God delights in him in mercy. And here the Apostle Paul is reminding us that he's rich in mercy. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. Our Father is a merciful God. He's rich in mercy. And even when we were in our dead state, he showed his love to us. He showed his mercy to us. We read in the Gospel of John that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the mercy of God. This is the richness of his mercy that he has toward us. This is the salvation that we are experiencing, his rich mercy and his great love wherewith he loved us. And then he says, has quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. This is the grace of God, that when we were dead in sins, his rich mercy and his great love was shown to us. That's grace. That's grace. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He raised us up. He raised us up from that dead state that we were in sin. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is the salvation that we have experienced, and that you, our friends, can experience as well. And he continues on and says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." This is a phrase that's repeated over and over that we as believers appreciate to hear. For by grace are ye saved through faith. We're saved through faith, and that grace then is dispensed to us, is given to us. It is a faith that we need to have that is alive and sure. A faith that believes that we weren't there when Jesus was born, but we believe that there was a star that guided the shepherds to Jesus. We weren't there, but we believe it. We weren't there when Jairus' daughter, 12-year-old daughter, was raised to life again, but we believe it. We weren't there when that widow had that son that was in name, that was being carried to his grave in that casket, and Jesus raised him to life again. We weren't there, but we believe it. We weren't there when Lazarus was raised from the dead, but we believe it. We weren't there when Jesus was crucified upon the cross, but we believe it. We weren't there when Jesus rose from the dead, but we believe it. But we believe it. And this faith that we would have would save us. This is what the righteousness which is by faith speaks. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in having faith, believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the faith that we have of Jesus Christ, the Bible says here, thou shalt be saved. This is the abiding faith that we have. And we believe it, though we were not there. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that Jesus has done these things here upon this earth, that those that saw it may not have believed it, and we didn't see it, but yet we believe it. And so, again, that verse that in John chapter 1, and I know I often quote it, but this is truth, where the Bible says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus Christ came to the Jews, and the Jews said, "No, you're not the Messiah, because you're not going to save us from the Romans." But he says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So there's this salvation that we have as we believe on the name of Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he was manifest in the flesh, that he gave us salvation by that supreme sacrifice, that once and for all sacrifice that he performed upon the cross, shedding his blood. We have that faith that we have allows the grace of God to come, and we are then saved. Thank God for this gift of life. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So now that we have been redeemed, that we have been brought up from the dead and to life in Christ Jesus, and hath brought us together with Christ and made us to sit in heavenly places together, now we are now his workmanship. And we are created unto good works. We are now made new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now that we have experienced, now that we have been quickened, now that we have been made alive, now that we are new creatures in Christ, we do that which he would have us to do. We glorify him. We are his workmanship, and we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This is now a reflection, as we spoke on Wednesday, of Titus, that we are a peculiar people because we are zealous of good works. What makes us peculiar is that we are zealous of good works. And so now as we are a new creature in Christ Jesus, as we have now been born again and we have been risen, that we are now created into created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now we do what God would have us to do. Now we glorify his name. Now we lift him up on high. Now we proclaim and exalt his name for the salvation that has been brought to mankind. Think of Zacchaeus, how he was a chief of the publicans. The publicans were detestable people to the Jews. They were really, really disliked. They were liars that stole more money than they should have. They were very detestable to the Jewish people, the publicans. And here was Zacchaeus. He was a chief of the publicans. And Jesus says, "Today I must abide in thy house." And when Jesus showed forth himself to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus believed. He believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And then that belief made him to be a new creature, and immediately he brought forth good works. And he says, "Behold, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have stolen anything from anybody by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." These good works were made manifest immediately. And the good works that we should have as believers in Jesus Christ should be made manifest in our lives, that we would make a difference, a positive difference in this world, that we would be praying for others. That's what our good works can do. Our good works can begin with praying for others. It costs us nothing but our time. But that's where we can begin, is by praying for others. And we see the needs. We see them the needs all the time. We hear about them. We read about them. We know there are needs all the time, everywhere. And there's no possible way where we can satisfy the needs of everyone that has a need. But we can begin with good works by praying for others. And then as we pray for others, it will invoke in us a memory of them that, is there some way I can help out? Is there some way where I can lift the burden or the ease this difficulty that this person is going through? Perhaps for the young people, it could be showing some energy, taking your energy that you have and helping out with somebody. For those that are a little bit older, maybe not so much energy, but maybe a little bit more resources, they can help out with resources as needed. But what makes us to be peculiar people is the zealousness for good works. And here, this is what Jesus, the Bible here is speaking of when we have our salvation, that we are now new in Christ. We are risen from the dead. We now have the hope of salvation, and we are now employing ourselves to the benefit of the kingdom of God. And so as God's people, really need to be looking for those opportunities to do good works. And then step up. Step up and do them. God will bless our lives. And then it'll be a strong reflection of, we are so thankful for the salvation of God, for what has been done for me that I might be saved. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God." A sad state to be in, having no hope and without God. A very sad state. Yet when we were dead in sins, that's where we were. We had no hope, and we were without God. And those of us that have been born again, there's no desire to go back to anything that this world would have to offer. Because to be without hope and to be without God is very, very sad. "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." The blood of Christ. This is what draws us nigh. This is what Jesus Christ has done. He who is above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name, he allows us to draw nigh to him by his blood. By his blood. That's what the Bible is saying here. We're able to draw nigh to him by his blood. Not through any other means. Not through any other means. But by Jesus Christ and what he has done for us by his blood. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Here the Bible is saying that we have peace. And we have peace together, Gentile and Jew. They are no longer two. The Jews had this thing about themselves that they were so good that they didn't even want to stop in Samaria as they were going to Galilee. They'd rather go around. They were so good, they didn't allow any Gentiles to be in the temple. They were so good that we always had to be separate, Jews and Gentiles. But Jesus Christ is here saying, he tore down that middle wall of partition. Through Jesus' flesh, we are brought together. And he took away that enmity. And here he's speaking the enmity, which is hostility. We can think of enmity as hostility. What's the hostility? It's the law of commandments contained in ordinances. It was the ceremonial law. Jesus took that all away. There was this debate during the time of the apostles that the believing Jews wanted the believing Gentiles to practice Jewish customs and traditions, and such as circumcision and other things of that nature. And it was such a large case that it had to be brought up to the apostles, and the apostles were saying, look, none of us Jews were able to meet the requirements of the law. Why would we think that the Gentiles would be able to? And so this ceremonial law was simply done away with. And and Jesus Christ is saying that hostility, the enmity, that law of commandments contained in ordinances, that was taken away, and now we have peace. We have peace together with God. He is our peace, the Bible here is saying. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. On the cross, when Jesus hung on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. That enmity was slain, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. This is what Jesus Christ did while he was there upon the cross. He came and preached peace both to those that were far off, the Gentiles, which we would fall underneath that category, and to the Jews. He came and brought peace, that we together, as is mentioned often in this chapter and in this epistle as a whole, that there's a togetherness, there's a unity, that the believer would be united, Jew, Gentile, whatever it might be. For through him, through Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. One small verse, one small sentence, but it contains the Trinity. It's through Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by the Spirit unto God the Father. The beauty of salvation that we as believers have, and that you, our friends, can also have through faith in him. When we have that faith, as Zacchaeus had that faith, as so many others had that faith, we can become the sons of daughters and sons and daughters of God. Now, let me back up. There, speaking of the peace that we have, he is our peace, Jesus is our peace. And he took away that hostility, that enmity, so making peace, and he preached peace to us. This is what we have as believers in Jesus Christ. We have this peace. We experience this peace when we have his salvation. And so whatever our lot in this life would be, we can still have peace. We can still have peace. And so Jesus Christ says, peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of Jesus Christ. He comes and he brings it, and he fills our heart with it. Let us remember that promise. And so Jesus also says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We can have peace in Jesus Christ. We can experience that peace that our soul is saved. Our soul is saved. We believe. We have experienced his rich mercy. We have experienced his great love. We have experienced his exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. We have experienced these things. Let me say these things one more time, just to give us that peace and that we would be remembered of this. Jesus Christ came to give unto and show unto us his rich mercy, his great love, and his exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. This is the salvation that we can have in him. For through him we both have access into one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Here he's saying that there's no more separation. The Gentiles from Ephesus can come to Jerusalem and they can walk right into the temple. And there's no more separation. We are all now together. We're not strangers and foreigners. There's no strangers and foreigners. We're all into this together. Jew and Gentile, all that would believe. We are in this together because of Jesus Christ, and we are now fellow citizens with all the saints and of the household of God. Again, thanks God, thanks be to God for his salvation that he has given unto all mankind. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so now, again, as we are a new creature in Jesus Christ, as we have been raised from the dead, as we have been quickened and made alive by Jesus Christ, by him who is far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name, as we are all made alive, now we are building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so now, as we recall the message of Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, and as he concluded that message, and he said, a wise man will now build upon this rock, these sayings of mine, will build upon Jesus Christ, and the storms of life will come, the winds and the rains will beat vehemently upon the house, but yet it will stand. If we walk in newness of life, if we are zealous of good works, if we remember the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ and in his shed blood for us, that we will stand and will not fall. We were built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple unto the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We're together. The Bible here is saying this is all together. We're all together. We're built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And we're growing. The important word there is growing, not stagnant, not saying, I will do this much for the Lord, and that's where I'll stand. That's where I'll set my level of effort to the Lord, and I'll engage myself in other activities of life. No, we're continuously growing, coming to the fullness of the knowledge of the Lord and growing in that stature and building each other up. Why? Because we have an enemy, and he has that threefold mission that he wants to do in to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what Satan wants to do, is kill, steal, and destroy. But here, the Bible is teaching us that we should grow, build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. How thankful we can be for this salvation that we have. Let's be reminded anew, brother and sister, of this salvation that we have, that we are saved by grace through faith, and that we are now new creatures, and that we engage in good works. To you, our friends, you can have salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, that believe that he has come here upon this earth, the Son of God, and through him, and through his supreme sacrifice there upon the cross, we can have salvation. God has given unto us a great gift. He's rich in mercy, has great love, and has shown unto us his exceeding grace. May we ever be thankful, and may we ever exalt his name. Amen.